to ask for a blessing on the phone, Mr. Bolton.
Brother, if he won't be able to be with us for a little while due to local problem there, that will be resolved in time, we trust.
So, this morning, as we begin, let me be sure I've got the orders right on the schedule, but Phil, I think you're up first, are you not? Okay. So, Phil first and Don second. And I believe we're all ready.
Today's subject is entitled The Spiritual Initiative. We have two scriptures, do all things as unto the Lord, and do with thy might what your hands find to do, and others which we won't mention now, which would tend to bear out the suggestion to act on spiritual initiative. Initiative is defined by Reader's Digest Encyclopedic Dictionary is as follows. The power or right to take the first or next step in some action. The second, act of originating, or the spirit needed to originate action, as acting on one's own initiative, as it were, without instruction or compulsion, freely. An example would be the idea originally conceived and acted upon of republishing the reprints and other publications, acting on the idea to see if response indicated whether or not the Lord approved of this activity. Obviously it prospered and was indeed approved. This we would never have known if otherwise, if it hadn't been acted on. Not many very often have found out the Lord's will in a given matter by just going no further than the thought itself. This tremendous service of publication resupply was born because Brother Carl and his contemporaries took or demonstrated the spiritual initiative to do so. Look at the fine tape service rendered by our sister Annabelle, another example of taking the spiritual initiative. Tapes enjoyed by probably a couple hundred brethren in the Southern California area alone. The efforts of Brother Charlie and Jim submitting articles, if they hadn't taken an initiative, not just the tremendous amount of work in preparing these things, but to act on it. Let's see if the Lord's will is here or not. Submit them and see if they get passed. We all enjoyed these articles very much. And then we can take in a few minutes in front of us, I'll demonstrate a small idea of my own thanks to the Lord. And if it proves to be of any help to some of the brethren, why, we can use it. It's still in its early stages, and it must be refined, and so it can be used a little bit more handily than it will be this morning. This item is simply a series of cards with scriptures printed on them, and they will be in large print so that various brethren can see from a distance and not miss out on any scriptural reference offered by a given speaker. And we will try this out a little bit later on. The lesson learned here, asking the Lord's guidance in these matters and to begin to do something and watch to see if it prospers is one way of knowing, does the Lord approve? And we can take encouragement in the response to it and exhilarate our efforts and fully implement whatever idea we might have. Another example would be Sister Jessie's little pamphlet, helping us locate the various pamphlets where a given scripture occurs so that it can be discussed at the fair. A very handy thing to have. These are some of the things we might use as examples for the spiritual initiative idea. Now, we will endeavor this morning to take a spiritual initiative in a small way, introducing an idea. This idea this morning will be simply reading of articles, some well known, others long forgotten, that bear repeating. The following one or two, time allowing, are ideally short examples. If you like this concept, we would like to hear from you on these. And I will try to have one longer one for the next time. These following are from a publication from much before my time. Thanks to my visit to Sister Barry and Hammett, and that's another thing, acting on an idea to visit the isolated, I just felt after John's passing that Sister Barry just might well be quite lost out there by herself with no visitors. So, again, let's have that spiritual initiative, Phil. Do it yourself. Demonstrate it yourself. So I asked Sister Allen if she would go with me down. And I never would have found this article. I never would have found this publication. It was before my time. The likelihood of my ever seeing this article is nil. We think you're going to enjoy it. The author of it, for the second article, which would have been the second if we had time to read the first, is with us here in the LA area. And one we have come to love and appreciate and enjoy very much in this whole southwest area now, and in years past, some of the Eastern Ecclesia brethren have known him there. I will leave the copy of this publication back for your perusal later on. The name of the article is The Christian Seven Walks. Here's the publication. Many of you will recognize it, the Bible Student News. I never saw it, never heard of it, never knew it existed until about 2 months ago. And I'm just going to keep his name for a moment until we get through. And we will temporarily at least use these large cards. I'll place them in there so you can copy scriptures if you need them. And eventually later on I'll have to return this to the sister. So I'll run off copies of the whole booklet. The Christian Seven Walks. The Apostle in the book of Ephesians outlines the Christian's course of conduct, including his thoughts, words, deeds, in seven walks. The first walk is found in Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. This will later be simplified. There won't be any breaking the action and walking someplace. The first walk is found in Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, where we are admonished to walk not according to the course of this world. Rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, and envy. Romans 13, 13 are dispositions of the world. And often because we desire the approval of friends or neighbors, we participate in the spirit of the world. The old creature has earthly appetites, so we should avoid everything that would tend to arouse that appetite. Make straight paths for your feet. Hebrews 12 and 13 is a principle which will help us shun the way of the world and help us maintain a higher standard. This will bring greater approval from the Heavenly Father. The more of the Spirit a Christian possesses, the more he realizes he has come out of darkness into light. The divine standard should always be our view, and therefore the second walk of the Christian is in good works. Ephesians 2:10. The Lord has set the standard of a sound mind with meekness, gentleness, patience, and love. So instead of looking forward to revelry, we are rather to turn from it without regret, for we have been called out of the world and must learn about and develop true character. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 4:1 is the third walk. We have been invited to become soldiers of the cross and have put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:13. No man arms himself with a sword unless he expects to use it. The sword of the Spirit is the great weapon which will prove our loyalty and strengthen the Lord. Those who fall in battle will not share the great King's glory. As children of God, we are of the future dispensation. Therefore, we should live in accordance with the perfect standard of that time. One of the important features of this age and the next is honesty, not only in the matter of dollars and cents, but in the treatment of our neighbors, our brethren, and the faith. The religious teachers of the Lord's day professed righteousness while they devoured widows' houses. Thus, this lesson from the past warns the spiritual Israelites, especially today's teachers, that they must be honest in their relationship to those to whom they minister if they desire to have the Lord's continued blessing. The world takes much pleasure in animal appetites of food and drink. The Christian in the fourth walk is advised to walk not as other Gentiles walk. Ephesians 4:17. We are not to walk in reveling and drunkenness, but on a higher intellectual and moral plane. We yield to none in our opposition to intoxicating beverages and in our abhorrence of the terrible results which they bring. 1 Corinthians 6:10 and Proverbs 23, 29 and 30. In Revelation 17, 4 and 5, there is a change in the picture of drunkenness. There, the great harlot is shown holding a cup filled with the wine of false doctrine, intoxicating all who drink it. False doctrines have caused many to lose their balance. So doctrines not based on God's word must be rejected. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. Everything we do must be governed by the law of the new creation, love. In the fifth walk, Ephesians 5:2, Paul says, walk in love. This walk will displace selfishness, which in its various forms is the work of the adversary. Because of his walk in love, our Lord laid down his life, not only for his brethren, but for the whole world, even though they were the enemies of God. We likewise should be willing to lay down a few months or years for each other. Our love for the world will be reflected in our efforts to bring them the glad tidings. Finally, we will even learn to love those who are enemies, those who despitefully use us. The church has received the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit and are thus able to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8, the sixth walk. In proportion as the Spirit is lost, we lose knowledge until gross darkness sets in. As children of light, every day and every year must see increased spiritual progress. Matthew 5:16. In the seventh walk, we are urged to walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15. This means that we will be watchful on every side, cautious, not living carelessly, realizing that there are various pitfalls and snares along the narrow way. As new creatures, we are separate from the world, and because of this, the world often finds fault with us and seeks to trip us up. Ours must be the wisdom that comes from above, exemplifying itself in all the affairs of our life. Walking circumspectly will mean redeeming the time. Ephesians 5:16. The cares, necessities, customs of the world, our fallen tendencies would absorb all of our time if we were not careful. As much time as possible should be spent in the interest of the new creature, studying, rehearsing the blessings promised, and telling the glad tidings to others. I'll simply close by telling you who wrote that article. Brother Ray Krupa. So, we have an opportunity to thank him for it, and for the Lord in his indirect way of bringing it to our attention. We hadn't read it before. Thank you. Yes, oh yes. Pardon. Somebody's written 1949 in here on the front page. Let's see if it's... That's as close as I can get it, just a written in 1949. So it's been around for a while.